Prefer Talk on Spill, Josh. How are you now?
Dandy.
Good.
Dandy and good. All right. Excellent. Wanted to have a big how do you do to Mountaineer Ross for joining us again. How are you now?
Thanks for having me, Keith. I'm real excited to be back on the pod.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we decided just to kind of finish up the over-under game with you. Didn't want to leave you out.
I'm damn near a full-time member. I can't wait. I cannot wait for those checks to start rolling in, baby.
I can't wait to hear both. Yeah. I also want to give a birthday shout-out to a dear friend of mine, the United States of America.
Hey.
Isn't that tomorrow?
Well, yeah, but when people are listening to this on their drive to the lake or
one day,
anything like that.
One day when people listen to this in 2014 or 23 years, 24.
When people listen to this 5 years ago.
Now, don't give it away, Keith. They could be on their way to the ocean, too. We don't want to assume people are just going to lakes. There's also a big body of water out there called the ocean.
Right, but we're
preferably Indian.
We're in Michigan.
Ocean.
Or so here in West Virginia.
Go to a lake.
Rivers and ponds.
Nice set of puddles. All right.
Well, before we get started, too heavy, anybody have any news, notes, corrections?
No, I'll let Ronnie Ross is broken earlier, so.
Well, we lost one of our good ones. I'd like to say a rest in peace in all sincerity to Jaron Lorenzen. Very, very talented quarterback from Kentucky. Played for the Giants for a hot minute. And he made me feel good about my body. And I can't thank him enough for that.
All right. Pete.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Bill, you have anything for you? I know you're chomping at the bit to get started.
I am. But UConn's leaving the AAC starting in 2020. We don't know what that means for football specifically, but they're going back to the Big East for basketball.
About time.
And so there's the eggs in one basket.
We don't know what to expect for football. Because the AAC said they won't keep them as a one-sport team.
Let's be real, though. Is it really going to matter what conference UConn's in?
Probably not.
I read that perhaps James Madison would be taking that spot, and that'd be really big for James Madison. They might end up just taking that conference and just carrying it every year. I did read that.
Oh, wow. New Ross did some reading. That's
Well, instead of working, I like to troll Twitter, you know, and hit on all my Insta models. So I saw that on there.
Bill, actually, you had an interesting question you wanted to bring up today.
Yes, I did. In the honor of the birthday of our beautiful country, which college football coach would you want at your 4th of July barbecue, cookout, reunion, get-together, shindig, whatever you want to call it?
That to me is easy. Mike Leach.
Really, why?
He's an entertaining dude. Just listen to him talk anytime. He's entertaining. Like, give me Mike Leach, especially with a couple beers in him.
Yeah.
Mike Leach.
Okay. Anywhere else?
I would invite Nick Saban just so that way everyone can realize how terrible he is in social settings. And then by proxy, you become a better person to other people because he's just not fun in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. Okay. Bill?
That's an easy one for me too. Coach O.
Can you imagine? He would eat everything.
He would take his shirt off and like start doing D-line drills, and then he'd put a gumbo on the grill.
Go Tigers. Bill, that's a fantastic answer. That is fantastic.
Thank you. Keith, you can regain your composure after my excellent Coach O impression here. Who would you say?
Just put the gumbo on the grill.
Give me some of that corn on the cob. Go Tiger.
Probably Gundy.
Yeah, dude.
I just think overall personality, hair. He is the complete ensemble, and I think I just love to nestle all up in that.
Herm Edwards would be a good one too.
I'm surprised you didn't say Herm.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
Well, because Herm Edwards. I think Coach O would be more fun, but
yeah,
Herm would just, you know, if he like get like a pickup football game or something started, he would start like just enthusiastically encouraging you at everything you do. playing cornhole, he'd just be, you know, just start. Be clapping on the sidelines, and
he'd be coaching Bill.
He would.
Teaching about life.
I just had to get my Herm quota in for the episode.
Herm quota, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Good, we're at one now. So, all right, back to over-unders. Bill, where are we at?
Last week we finished up with all the Power 5 teams, so now we're going to move into the Group of 5 teams and the independents.
That's exciting.
I did say that the Group of 5s, everybody would get two. In my dumb math, I gave everyone three anyway, so we're just going to continue with the same pattern as before.
Okay. What conference are we starting in?
Independent.
Indy, okay.
So it's not really a true conference, I guess. But we'll start with Ross this time and do we'll snake our way around. So Ross, first things first. Oh, also we made a change. I gave everyone their teams ahead of time. I didn't give them the line ahead of time, mm-hmm. but to avoid dead air and us looking too stupid, I gave everyone the teams ahead of time.
We appreciate that, Bill.
So Ross, your first independent is Liberty at 6.5 wins.
If you could see his face drop.
Well, all the viewers probably saw that on the TV. I rolled my eyes there. Big coaching change for Liberty. Hugh Freeze is in there, so that's good for a Christian school to get a cheer. And Turner Gill just left to be like Arkansas, like a professor in Arkansas. I don't even think he's doing football. I had them at 6 wins, so I'll take the under, please.
Why'd you roll your eyes so heavily?
Because I have a feeling that all your over-unders are going to be right on the border of what I was going to pick.
I think
that's going to make me sad.
I think that makes me a good handicap.
No, right? I don't like that. I want to win money, Bill.
Keith, UMass, 6.5.
So, former MAC school, 6.5. I believe they are going to be at 6, so I'm going to go under.
Another first-year head coach. Mm-hmm. Josh, slinging it over to New Mexico State,
yep.
1.5 wins.
1.5. I was looking at their schedule. Their defense gave up 41 points a game last year, and they start with road games at Washington State and Bama. They play Fresno State.
Oh, no.
They do play Incarnate Word, so I like a win there, and I think they'll sneak one out somewhere else, so I'll go over.
Is that
Mexico State?
Washington State and Bama?
That's how they start. Then they got San Diego State week 3.
Oh, it's brutal.
That's when the NCAA should step in.
And then they play New Mexico, and then they play Fresno State. So,
all right. Staying out in the Rocky Mountain area, Brigham Young, 6.5 wins.
Oh, yeah, it's a snake, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go over with 6.5. BYU returning a lot of on offense, as well as their quarterback. So, yeah, I'll take the over for BYU.
All right, Keith. Service Academy, Army, 11.5 wins.
I believe you meant the best Service Academy. And what was the number? What was the line again? I completely blanked.
11.5.
11.5?
They won 11 last year, and I think their schedule is conducive to 12.
Yeah, looking at their schedule real quick, I see one loss, which is at Hawaii.
Who is this?
Sorry, two
Army.
Losses.
I'm gonna go under, actually.
All right. Ross, Notre Dame, 10.5.
Billy, who the hell is playing quarterback for that team?
Ian Book.
Yikes. I have them at 7 wins. I'll go the under.
7 wins?
Wow. Yeah, I have them
Whoa.
At 7 wins.
Can I hear who you have them losing to?
I don't have the schedule in front of me, but when I looked at the schedule, I said, man, that's 7
quick.
Wins. Yeah, okay, good. Yep.
Okay.
I have them beating New Mexico, Bowling Green, Virginia Tech, Navy, Boston College, and Stanford. Was that 7, I think?
Wow. Not a lot of faith in
and
Notre Dame.
And the one note I had was, who is their quarterback? so I just don't have much faith, and clearly not much faith in Ian Book, or whatever his name was.
All right. Fair enough. We'll head over to the Conference USA.
Woo!
Sticking with Ross.
USA.
North Texas, 10.5 wins.
Now, Bill... That's a great question. Now, the only reason I know that North Texas is good because of you, so I went real high on them. I read a couple things. They're getting their top running back back and their quarterback back, and their coach Seth Luttrell, as you have mentioned, is quite the stud. So I'm going to go ahead and take the under at 10 wins.
Keith, University of Texas, San Antonio, 3.5.
Ooh, I mean, they'll open up 1-0 against Incarnate Word, but I'm going to go under.
Josh, University of Texas, El Paso.
Yep.
3.5.
Well, they were 1-11 last season. Gave up 33 points a game last season. I'm going to take the under with them. I'll go under.
Somehow getting worse in Conference USA. Rice, 1.5 wins.
They were 2-11 last year, but they returned 13 guys. And you said 1.5?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over with them.
Keith, Keith, Middle Tennessee State, 6.5.
They're a border team for me. That's the interesting thing about Conference USA is a lot of these games for me are toss-ups. Because, I mean, it's Middle Tennessee versus Rice, you know, Old Dominion, Western Kentucky. I'm going to go under. I'm going to have to.
All right, Ross, Southern Miss, 7.5 wins.
Wow. Oh, great. well, they play three powerhouses, Billy. I don't know if you know that. They play Alabama, Mississippi State, and North Texas, all three powerhouses. I have them at 8 wins, so I'm going to take the over.
All right. FIU, 10.5.
No. Butch Davis, I don't know if you remember, he was the GM of the Browns from 2002 to 2004, so he knows how to run a program. I have them at 8 wins. I don't have any notes about their schedule, but just go ahead and mark that down. That's the under.
You got it. Keith, Marshall, 8.5.
We are under 8 wins.
Wow.
Josh, whoa. UAB, 9.5.
9.5 last year, 11-3. Bring back 5 starters on defense. Yeah, I'll take the over with them.
All right. Moving into the AAC. I do have UConn in here, so that's farewell to them. Josh, still with you. Houston, 10.5 wins.
Yeah, my note on that was Dana Holgorsen, maybe. I'm going to take the over with Houston.
All right. Keith.
I'm excited to watch Houston.
7.5.
Temple, 7.5, eh?
First-year head coach.
I think 7's just – I think 8's a bridge too far, but they'll sit at a nice 6 win, so I'm going to go under.
All right. Ross, Second Service Academy, Navy, 6.5.
First, I'd like to thank them for their service. And
yeah,
second,
Keith, you didn't thank the Army for their service.
Well because you're not supposed to thank them for their service. You're supposed to say never forget because you're not going to forget their service.
Sorry. Well, I'll hashtag it later on my Twitter. I have the under there. Under there, 5. I have them at 5 wins.
All right. South Florida.
South Florida.
I have 2 notes here. Charlie Strong, and they went 7-6 last year. What was the over? You didn't even give me an over or under.
7.5.
You said 7.5?
Yeah.
Over. 8 wins.
Wow. Between you and me, I think Charlie Strong's seat is getting a little warm.
That's toasty.
Keith.
And Texas might be hiring soon.
Cincinnati, 8.5.
I love Cincinnati this year. I'm going to go over.
Yeah. Like that pick.
Josh, Southern Methodist, 7.5.
Sorry.
It's SMU.
Yeah, I know what SMU is.
Eric Dickerson used to play there, Josh. He got a car and everything.
Yeah. Thanks. What was the line? 7.5?
Yep.
I know they have a great receiving core. And the transfer from Texas, Shane Bouchel.
Wow, whoa.
And I got that one right.
You got a name right.
Guys. Travis Etienne. Got that one right too now. I will take the over for SMU.
All right. And sticking with the AAC last round. 2017 national champs,
yep.
UCF
yep.
Knights.
What's the over-under? Because it doesn't matter. Say 12.
11.5.
Oh, wow. Okay. I wrote national championship or bust is what I wrote on their line. But I'm actually going to take the under. Obviously, Mackenzie Milton not playing this year.
True.
So I'll take the under.
Keith, East Carolina, 5.5.
Well, they play UConn, so that's good for them. Also, Gardner-Webb, so that's 2 wins. I'm going to go under.
All right. Ross, final AAC team, UConn. 2.5.
And what a powerhouse that AAC team is. I got the under, and who cares?
I'd also like to have a preliminary moment of silence for the Civil Conflict Trophy between UConn and UCF, which will obviously be defunct now that UConn's leaving. All right, into the MAC. Ross, Ball State, 3.5.
Oh, wow. I have the over on that, Bill. I think they're going to get 6 wins.
Whoa. Ball State bowling.
Yep. And however, the coach, Mike, how do you pronounce that? Newey?
New.
That's what I said. I believe his seat will be very hot if he does not get 6 wins.
I think so, too. We have a pair of alma maters here. Just so happened. Keith, Central Michigan, 3.5.
Fire up at under. It's going to be a couple of really bad years, especially Wisconsin week two at Wisconsin and then at Miami.
Like the Miami?
Could sneak one out there.
Yeah. Not Miami, Ohio. It's like the U.
Well, you just put Miami and you just put OH, so it's assuming that's the U. So oh, they're going to get their shit pushed in quite hard.
All right, Josh. Your alma mater. Western Michigan, 8.5.
8.5. I'm actually pretty high on Western. And I know, surprising, but they were injured a lot last year. Starting quarterback's coming back. They do got to play Syracuse and Michigan State. I'm sure they'll stumble once or twice in the MAC. You said 8.5?
Yep.
I'm actually going to take the under. All right. I'll go 8-4. You're real high on.
You're real high on.
8-4 is still a good record for a MAC team.
Sorry. Real high at 8.
What about the bowl game, though?
You'll probably lose.
All right. So
real high on Western.
Sticking with Josh here, Bowling Green, 4.5.
Bowling Green, well, their quarterback transferred to good old WVU. They only bring back 3 starters total. So I'm going to take the under.
Keith, Buffalo, 7.5.
Ooh. They have a pretty favorable schedule, except for the game at Penn State. So I'm going to go over.
Ross, Toledo, 10.5. I also have written on my notebook, Toledo. I wrote that wrong. It makes me feel real dumb.
Toledo.
You an English major?
Yep.
Coming in handy. They teach him how to spell.
A moment of silence. Bill's English major.
I think Jason Candle is a hell of a coach. He's also might be 23 years old. I'm not sure. Looked real young. I have them at 8 wins. So I'll take the under on that, Billy.
All right. Kent State, 1.5.
Wow. They play Arizona State, Wisconsin, and Auburn. So that's probably 3 wins there. So I have the over on that. And I just wrote down the coach's name, Sean Lewis. That's my note. I don't know.
Keith, sticking in Ohio. Ohio, 10.5.
Cool. Funny story. I actually almost went through for grad school. And I will take the – you said 8.5?
10.5.
I'll take the under.
All right. Another school in Ohio. Josh, Akron, 4.5.
4.5. Looking at my notes here, they got a new coach. They lost a lot across offensively and defensively, so I will take the under there.
All right. Mountain West time. Josh, San Jose State, 3.5.
Well, they've had 3 wins the past 2 years. Their O-line gave up 39 sacks last year. And 211 yards rushing a game, so I will take the under with San Jose State.
That's bad. Keith, Air Force, 5.5.
5.5. I mean, looking at them right now, they can squeeze to 6, so I'm going to go over.
Ross got the 3 best teams in the Mountain West.
Yeah, naturally.
San Diego State, 9.5.
Billy, I have the under on that. I have them getting 6 wins, and I have no other notes about that other than 6 wins. So okay. We're just going to go ahead and stick with that.
All right.
Okay.
Boise State, 12.5.
Boise State, 12.5. I have a real nice note there. I have don't play shit. They really don't play anyone the whole year except for their conference play. I still have them at under. I think they'll have 11 wins.
All right. Keith, UNLV, 4.5.
Just because they're on that side of the conference and they're playing Northwestern and Hawaii, I'm going to go under.
Josh, Keith's favorite team, Hawaii, 6.5.
Watch your mouth.
6.5. Keith has them going to a New Year's Day bowl, lest we forget, because he has a lemon bet on it. I'll take the over because there I do think they can get over 6.5 wins. I still don't think that there's any way they're going to a New Year's 6 bowl.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty comfortable with that bet. But I will take the over with 6.5.
All right, Utah State, 7.5.
7.5. Utah State is fun to watch. Jordan Love is good, and so is the offense. And the defense brings back 7 starters. I will take the over.
They have one of the tougher schedules in the Mountain West, though. They go.
I am taking the over.
At San Diego State, at LSU, at Fresno State.
I looked at their schedule. I'm taking the over.
All right. Noted.
Sounds like you didn't, Josh.
Noted.
I did.
Keith, Colorado State, 5.5.
Colorado State, if you are listening, I am interested in that position you have open. But you are going to go there. They have a, looking for a box office manager.
Ah.
So it's unlikely you're listening to this and you're going to go under.
Pressure lied for the podcast there, Keith. Could have gotten the job. Pressure lied on that.
Fresno State, 10.5.
Oh, Billy. I am high as a kite for Fresno State. I love them. That coach they got over there, what's his name, Billy?
Jeff Tedford.
Love him. I call him Teddy Bear. Love him. Coached at Cal for what seems like an eternity. I have them at 11 wins.
All right. Final conference, Sun Belt. Ross, Appalachian State, 10.5 wins.
Now, didn't they do something cool like 9 years ago? Appetizer State, what did they do?
Appetizer State.
They beat, I'm just kidding.
The NCAA national champions.
They're still living off that win against Michigan from 1999. They lost their coach to Louisville. Louisville's fourth choice, I think, to get the job. I have them at 6 wins. Wow. So I'm going to take the under.
All right. Keith, Georgia Southern, 6.5.
I'm going to go over.
They won 10 games last year.
Yeah, I think they're a solid team. This is the Fun Belt. They're going to go over.
Mm-hmm. Josh, South Alabama, 3.5.
Yeah, 3.5. They don't have a quarterback right now. Last year, their defense gave up 39 a game. And their offense averaged 24 a game. Not great numbers.
That's not good.
You're not going to win most of those games. So I will stick with the under on South Alabama.
All right. Arkansas State, 5.5.
I'm going to take the over with them. 8-4 last year. They do have a new quarterback, but they bring back 7 starters on defense. I'll take the over.
Keith, Louisiana Monroe, 7.5.
ULM. I'm going to have to go under.
Ross, Louisiana Lafayette, 5.5.
I have who cares, no fun. but I do have them at 7 wins. They play nobody non-conference, so hopefully they can squeak out some W's.
All right, and then your favorite head coach's most recent coaching spot, Troy, at 7.5.
I have that. My one note here, Billy, is that they lost the greatest coach in the history of Troy. I have them at 1 win, so I'm gonna take the under. I didn't look at the schedule at all. I was just trying to be funny, Billy. You know me, always a jokester. But seriously, under.
All right, Keith, your last one. Coastal Carolina, 4.5.
I think they'll squeeze out 5.
All right,
I'm gonna go over.
Josh.
Texas State.
One of the worst teams in FBS. 1.5 wins.
They're bringing back 16 starters.
Wow.
And?
That's a lot.
Wow. If they lost with them, does it matter?
They were 3-9 last year.
Oh, sorry.
So I'll take the over.
Okay.
I didn't look at their schedule either, so who knows, but.
Well, they start with at Texas A&M, Wyoming, and at Southern or SMU. So
there's potentially two wins right there. There you go.
Well, that was fun, but the hard part is we have to wait 6 months until we can know the results.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did this really early.
52 days away, though.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Monty Ross, in 6 months we'll have you back on, and then we can show you the results.
Sounds good, Keith. Sounds good.
All right. That wraps up our over-under segment.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break and talk wide receivers.
Welcome back to Preferred Tacos.
Hi.
Before we get into our wide receivers, I don't remember who. Bill, maybe?
Bill.
Keith?
It was Bill.
It wasn't me.
Content
someone posted
machine.
A question last week that said, which running back from the past would you want in a modern-day offense? I took it as running back. I believe Keith took it as running back. Keith, I think, or Bill, I think, went running backs.
I had about 12.
Bill was really excited about his own question.
I broke them down into a couple different categories. So I'll go first because I have
the most. Yeah, you have the most. Okay.
So the first one, the one
How about you give us the one, like the one answer, and then break it down, break the rest down.
Oh, geez. Can I give you the one from each category that I have?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So my two categories are players that were great and now would come back to a really bad offense. And the second category is they were great in college and would be just in an incredible team right now. So the great players on a bad offense I'd want to see, Reggie Bush at USC. Actually, for the sake of not trampling on another choice, LaDainian Tomlinson at TCU. And then the one I want to see on an incredible offense would be Adrian Peterson. I would love to see him in a Lincoln Riley offense. That would be incredible. Because everything in Oklahoma right now is built for speed, and Adrian Peterson would just run you over.
Yeah,
it'd be
awesome.
It'd be wild.
And he's probably the most durable man I've ever met.
I think so.
I've never met him. I should say that would be a better way to describe that.
So putting him back on and Oklahoma always has one of the best offensive lines in the country. So
Farm boys
scheming for an offense that has Jalen Hurts, CeeDee Lamb, and now Adrian Peterson. Have fun with that one.
Good
defensive
night.
Coordinators.
Yeah, honestly. So that's good. Well,
and then honorable mention, Johnny Blood from Wisconsin River Falls. He played there from 1922 to 1924. Now in the NFL Hall of Fame. I want to see him back on. So those are mine. I have a bunch of others, but I want to hear your first two.
I took this question kind of a different way. I put, what running back would you want to see? And I could choose any offense. Like, I chose Reggie Bush. I would love to see Reggie Bush in an Oklahoma offense or in an Oklahoma State offense, putting him in the different positions from the running back to the slot. I think he would be super exciting in one of those high-scoring offenses. So that's the way I took it, and I went with Reggie Bush.
I took it as somebody going back to their alma mater in the current state of the program.
Yeah, that's the way I took it, and my choice would be Reggie Bush.
Yeah,
because we looked at his numbers, and when we did our historical draft, and we thought, wow, these don't seem great.
Mm-hmm.
And that might have just been a victim of that offense. But now, even though USC isn't truly back, they're in a better state, I would say.
And just I would like to see what he can do on a.
Well, and especially a more modern offense. And I think that's the other key, is that even though when he played, they were, it was 12 years ago, maybe?
15.
15. The offenses are completely different nowadays.
I'll throw an honorable mention.
Okay.
Maurice Claret.
Yeah.
And Ohio State's current offense.
I thought about him too.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. So here are my others. The great players to go back to now bad offense, Le'Veon Bell at MSU. He would get probably 50 touches a game. Be the only option. Warwick Dunn at Florida State. This is problematic, but Ray Rice at Rutgers. Speaking of 50 touches a game. Marshawn Lynch to Cal. That's not what I meant, but 50 touches a game, Keith.
Yeah.
Reggie Bush. Deuce McAllister at Ole Miss.
Okay.
Darren McFadden at Arkansas.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Eric Dickerson at SMU. The other ones that I would want to see just for fun on a really good team right now, Tyrone Wheatley back at Michigan because he was so fast and could turn a corner like nobody's business. Herschel Walker at Georgia, Bo Jackson at Auburn, and John Clay, just because John Clay.
Just because.
It's John Clay. He's
Their offense hasn't changed in 88 years.
So here's a question. If Bo Jackson was in Auburn now, or the last 4 years, do you think Alabama would still have the dominance over the SEC?
Yeah. I think so.
You think so?
Just because,
one position doesn't necessarily define.
Yeah.
Unless it's quarterback.
And Auburn had Kerryon Johnson, who he's not no Bo Jackson, but was really good in his own right. And I just think Nick Saban is a good enough coach that he would be able to scheme around Bo Jackson well enough.
Okay.
And the other thing, I don't want to say Bo Jackson's obviously an elite athlete.
Yeah.
The athleticism and talent levels from when he played 30 plus years ago, the gap has closed considerably, so other teams could at least keep pace with what he could do.
But then you're also thinking, then with that same line of thought, his workout schemes then, and they'd be 100% different now, and I think he could even be more of a freak of nature if a modern strength coach got a hold of that body.
Yeah, that's true. Give him a consistent nutrition plan, consistent strength and conditioning, today's technology when it comes to recovery habits.
Yeah.
He would have been wild.
Yeah. So that's an interesting thought.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, move on to the wide receivers.
Yep. Wide receiver top 10. And with, as we're going with tradition, Josh,
go ahead and
start off.
Okay.
This was the toughest position group for me to rank.
We say that every time.
No, but this,
this one literally, like, quarterbacks is tough because there are like so many good ones. Running backs, obviously, you can just interchange because almost anyone can rush for 1,500 yards these days. But the wide receivers are so hit or miss based on the quarterback they have, based on even if they're remotely injured, because obviously, you know, if you lose a step, it is, you know, you're going to be eaten alive. And I also feel like in 2019 college football, there aren't as many as legit number ones as there were last year because they all graduated
and went to the NFL. Different too.
Right.
You don't have the pro-style offense. You have the one big receiver like the Braylon Edwards for lack of a quicker name.
It's a lot more about spreading the ball out. So you don't have necessarily one receiver getting 15 catches a game. You have three or four guys getting five catches a game.
Yeah.
So that was tough for me. I also think we'll have a lot of the same 10 names.
Yeah, I think
revolving
we will too.
Around.
Yeah, probably.
So, Josh, before we get started, how many times have you changed your list so
far? I've just changed it once. I didn't put it on my notes, but I've changed it in my head. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go through
one officially.
Okay. All right. So, number 10, I'm going to North Texas. We talked about him a little bit today. Rico Bussey. Number 9, out of Houston, who I'm also very high on, Marquez Stevenson. 8, coming out of SMU, James Prochet. Did I say that right, did I?
Prochet.
I can't. It's no surprise. I can't say words.
Yeah, go for it.
It's like the 10th time that's happened to me. 7, Tyler Johnson of Minnesota. 6, T. Higgins from Clemson. Top 5 is really, really tough for me because I really think this could go anyway. I know you're really high on Rondale Moore from Purdue. He's my number 5 guy.
Okay.
Number 3, I have Laviska Shenault from Colorado. He's injured a little bit last year. Didn't really get to showcase everything, but hopefully he'll stay healthy this year. Put up a lot of points. Number 3, I'm pretty high on CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma. I think he'll that was the one I switched.
Yeah.
I think he'll he's an explosive guy playing in an explosive offense. Number 2, Jerry Jeudy, Alabama. And number 1, guy who I am very, very high on, Tylan Wallace from Oklahoma State. This is a dude who could have a pretty big year coming out of an explosive offense with a same quarterback. Really hit his stride last year as a sophomore. I'm very, very high on Tylan Wallace. He's my number 1 guy as far as receivers go.
Okay.
And he plays in the Big 12.
Yeah.
So
there you go. Bill? Yeah.
Do you think we'll have a receiver that catches over 1,500 yards in 2019?
Yes.
Yes.
Think so?
Yes.
Well, Tylan Wallace almost did it last year.
I think that was going to be my guy.
1,591.
But there's only one who did last year.
So you said, is there going to be one? Is there going to be a guy?
Yeah. You think Wallace is the guy?
I think Tylan Wallace could be the guy.
I think there'll be
one. I also think Shenault could be, potentially. Yeah. Or CeeDee Lamb.
I think CeeDee Lamb probably has one of the best opportunities because he is of my top 10.
Who was it? Who they was? Marquise Brown? He was the receiver that?
Yeah.
The number 1 guy last year?
Mm-hmm.
Even with him there, CeeDee Lamb got a lot of the touches.
He caught 65 balls for almost 1,200 yards. So his average per catch is the best of my top 10.
Yeah. That's 17.5 or 17.8.
Yeah, it's crazy. So anyway, here I had a couple honorable mentions before I dive into my top 10.
I had an honorable mention too.
Kalijah Lipscomb, Vandy, Justin Ross from Clemson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, USC, Tyler Johnson, Minnesota, Marquez Stevenson, Houston, and Cedric Bird, Hawaii. So my top 10, number 10, Antonio Gandy-Golden for Liberty. Last year he had 71 catches for over 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. Number 9 is T. Higgins. Number 8, DeMonte Coxie from Memphis. He lacked in the touchdowns, but he makes up for it in volume and yardage. Number 7, Rico Bussey for North Texas. Number 6, Laviska Shenault for Colorado. It's nothing against Shenault. I just I'm not big on Stevie Montez, and I'm really curious about how Mel Tucker is going to run the offense for Colorado in his first year.
It's the Pac-12.
Pac-12.
Oh, my goodness. This is in 2002. Yeah. Wow.
Are you okay?
Josh just went back in
Josh
time.
Is celebrating July 4th a little early. Okay, number five is C.D. Lamb. A psychological note on C.D. Lamb. In the games that I watched last year, he was visibly, if a defensive back started talking a little smack to him, he lost it very quickly. Mm-hmm. So I'm really curious to see if he's grown up a little bit from this year, especially knowing that he's going to be the number one guy. So I'm really curious to watch that, how that unfolds. But his potential is limitless.
Yeah.
Number four is James Prochy for SMU. Number three, Jerry Jeudy. Actually, I take it back. He had the highest average per catch at almost 20 yards a catch last year. 14 touchdown catches, just stupid good. Two, Rondell Moore. I have him high up because he's also a weapon out of the backfield. He had two rushing touchdowns and a couple hundred yards too. Number one, Tyler Malls.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of these are very similar, so forgive me if, you know, it sounds like I'm just repeating you guys. My three honorable mentions are Jalen Waddle, Brian Edwards out of South Carolina, and Denzel Mims out of Baylor. Now, Mims did have hand surgery, but they're projecting him to be ready for fall practice. So number 10 on my list is Amon-Ra St. Brown out of USC, partially because I love his name so much. He's number one.
The noted brother of right now. Equanimeous St. Brown.
Right. Number nine, T. Higgins out of Clemson. Number eight, Jalen Reagor out of TCU. Number seven, Rondell Moore from Purdue. Now, he's number seven on my list.
Number seven on your list.
The reason he's number seven on my list is because I think last year was his breakout year, right? So, obviously, when somebody's breaking out, you don't necessarily scheme for him.
Right.
Where now I think all the Big Ten defenses are going to correct. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to have a down sophomore year, but perhaps his junior. And if he stays for his senior year, they'll be better. But
right.
He's going to have a down sophomore year because they're going to start picking him out as this is the number one weapon on Purdue's offense.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, he was almost single-handedly the reason that Purdue beat Ohio State last year.
Yeah.
Because right. They didn't know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. And they couldn't react quick enough to him.
Right.
Number six is Henry Ruggs III out of Alabama. Number five, LaViscus Chenault Jr. Number four, CeeDee Lamb. And Bill, you hit on it before. His potential is just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, James Prochy from SMU. The new Texas quarterback, I think, is just going to work wonders for him. Jerry Jeudy out of Alabama had an offseason workout with Antonio Brown, and I've heard a number of people say that it was interesting because they have basically the same skill set. And obviously that translates well to the next level.
Yeah,
we'll see how this.
Antonio Brown's a great role model for kids going to the next level.
We'll see how that works out for him.
He's already demanded a trade. He hasn't even been drafted yet.
My number one, as with everyone else, is Tylan Wallace out of OK State. Now, has that QB position been solidified for them?
Essentially.
I mean, I think there were still some questions. I read some things out of OK State that were still a little bit questionable for me. So that obviously affects that position the greatest. You know, you got to trust the person that is throwing you the ball. So we'll see what happens there. I think there was a battle between two of them. And so it was just kind of where everything falls for him. But that OK State offense is just.
It's still Oklahoma State.
It's still.
I think whoever they put back there, it's going to sling it.
Well, last year they were.
True freshman, wasn't he?
No, it was a grad transfer senior quarterback.
Iowa State had the true freshman then, didn't he?
Iowa State, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oklahoma State had Taylor Cornelius as a grad transfer. But so with, yeah. And he did fine in 1 year of starting.
Right.
Threw for over 4,000 yards. So I think I think Oklahoma State can, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
They're going to produce no matter what. Yeah. Wide receivers were tough just because it's also really hard to, like with running backs, you can sense a little bit more of a pattern as far as productivity. Wide receivers, it's so hit or miss
from game to game. Like I said earlier, and we keep saying throughout this podcast, is that past performance has no indication of future performance.
Mm-hmm.
There's,
it's all we have to go on.
Yeah. It's all we have to go on. And the talent level, you know, doesn't necessarily diminish. But
right.
Things change. Things happen. We'll see what
who
comes
knows?
Up.
There could be some true freshmen coming in who would.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Happens every year in college football.
Right. Well, and that's where the waiver wire comes into play, and that's where trades start becoming a little bit more valuable if you're trying to make room. You know, you see a kid have three great games in a row, you're thinking, well, shit, I might want to stash this guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's when you start going back to, you know, who's hurting right now.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice something on our list? Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, no, never mind, take that back. I was going to say not one of us had a Big Ten guy, but that's not true.
Yeah, all three of us had a Big Ten.
Yeah, I had two. Tyler Johnson and Rondell Moore. Thank you for not looking at my list before I started asking
question. You are on one today, my friend.
You are doing well.
Another one, a guy I had last year was KJ Hamler. He was epitome of boom or bust in fantasy. I'm pulling up his game logs right now last year, but he had one amazing game. And then I was against Ohio State. He caught four catches for 138 yards and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, man, he's great. Picked him up. He didn't catch more than five balls for the rest of the season. So that was wonderful.
Big old poop in his big boy pants.
Wasn't so much that. I think, he was, like Josh said, he was a true freshman. He was low on the rotation chart. They still had Miles Sanders and just tried to run the offense through Trace McSorley, so he wasn't as big of a piece.
Trace McSorley.
I didn't want to make him an honor. I don't want to make him an honorable mention.
Yeah.
There's another piece of news. Tommy Stevens, former PSU quarterback, is now going to Mississippi State, playing for his old offensive coordinator, Joe Moorhead. So
okay.
I think that's a great landing spot.
Is he getting immediate eligibility?
Yeah, he's a grad transfer.
Grad transfer?
Yeah.
Damn.
Okay. And last year, Joe Moorhead had a great rushing quarterback, but the dude could not hit water. He fell out of a boat. So he's got a quarterback that can do one or the other now. So that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a place I'd really like to go to a game down there, actually.
Where?
Get the old cowbells out, Mississippi State.
Clanga, clanga!
That'd be a lot of fun.
I think we have enough cowbells here at the stadium, but that's just me.
I just think it'd be fun. I think either of those Mississippi schools would be a ride to tailgate at and then go to a game. Go to a night game in the SEC.
Okay. So then here's my question for you guys. Which game coming up would you guys want to go to the most?
Bedlam.
Not Illinois Rutgers in November?
No. That's close second, though. I think there's a – well, I guess I'm starting because I started talking. So sorry. But for me, I like points. I would love to go see Bedlam. I think Oklahoma State would just be a ton of fun. I would also – I think I talked to Bill about this yesterday. I would love to go to a game at Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
A night game. Just see that atmosphere. Enter Sandman and just all the pregame hype that goes into that and watch Virginia Tech play at home at night.
Now, are we talking home atmospheres or matchups specifically?
Take it any way you want, Bill.
Damn it.
It's going to be a tough question for
him. Seriously. Like, the home atmosphere of LSU is one I really want to see.
Mm.
But depending on the opponent, might not be that fun of a game.
Right.
Because, if Mississippi State comes to town, I don't want to watch 13-9 and, just watch the paint dry. Apple Cup is one that comes to mind. Washington State, because the clashes of style are so interesting to me.
You know it's going to win already, though.
Well, yeah, Washington is going to walk away with it, no problem. But just watching the air raid versus Washington's defense, which is incredible, and then vice versa. I don't know if this is accurate, but Washington State runs like an air raid defense almost because they're just so quick and they don't have like big linemen.
Yeah.
So that'd be first thing that comes to not first thing, but high on the list for me is an Apple Cup.
Yeah. Game I'm actually looking forward to this year is Oregon versus Washington State on October 26th.
Where's that game at?
It is at Oregon.
Let's go.
Let's go.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. I mean, I want to see, I hear a lot of good things about Oregon's campus and their facilities. And I used to know a guy up there who is now with the Seattle Seahawks, but I don't know, maybe that's a possibility to get in.
Army Navy would be awesome too.
Army Navy would be a lot of fun.
Also one-sided as of the last couple of years, but
I think we joked last year about going to Harvard, Yale. I don't know.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Ooh, that something like that. That would be kind of fun
because that was at Fenway Park.
Yeah.
Which yeah.
Obviously makes the experience a little more special, but still,
mm-hmm.
bunch of smart kids
playing football
or some football. Really any night game in the SEC. Like a, you get like a, I don't know, Alabama. Okay, obviously Alabama, Auburn, Iron Bowl.
But even like an A&M Georgia or something.
I'd go
like
to
that,
yeah,
which is
absolutely
really random, and they probably hardly ever play. But
yeah.
It's most also just
what if you're
part
at
of
that,
being College Station.
Went to the LSU A&M game last year.
Oh, that would have been awesome. 7 overtimes. The game that effectively ended college overtime as we know it.
Yeah.
Dumb
well,
rule.
It needed that.
Whoa. What do you mean?
Do you not like that? I liked the old overtime.
Why?
It's entertaining to
it's
me.
Entertaining?
When your team is not in it, and you're just watching for the hell of it, just to watch, you know, football. And when you don't have a dog in the fight, it is very entertaining to watch. It's a little bit more nerve-wracking when you got a dog in the fight, when you got a team. But I still like the way they do it.
I like it better than the NFL overtime, that's
for
sure.
I agree.
Well, I mean, I don't think the NFL really knows what it's doing with overtime anyway.
What's your issue with the college overtime?
I don't really have any issue with it. I just...
You just like being contrarian?
Yeah.
Contrarian Keith?
It's not that I like being contrarian. I just... Like to see your reaction sometimes when I say something.
Well, certainly worked for that one.
Plus, they also already threw a wrinkle in it where already had a wrinkle in it where it's okay, your third overtime, you got to go for two.
Yeah.
And now after the third overtime, all you do is go for two. Is it third or fifth overtime?
Third.
Because that's the new rule this year is after a certain number of overtimes, you literally just run plays from the three, and whoever can't convert one loses, which is I think it's
just after the third. I just
imagine for fantasy purposes, like if you had
how's that gonna count? Is it gonna count as like a 2-point conversion point wise?
So,
our
scoring system, you're asking if it's a 2-point or a touchdown?
Yeah, is it gonna count? Okay,
it'll count as a 2-point because it also counts everything per game, so any stats you accrue during a game, not necessarily during a scoring period, that's what's gonna count.
I just wish I had picked up Joe Burrow at that point last year. He would have gotten you a casual 75-point game for his 6 touchdown passes and 2 rushing touchdowns.
All right. Well, anything else you guys want to hit on before we wrap this shindig
up? What are we talking about next week?
Are
we doing a little tight end action, or are we?
I don't know if I can even name 10 tight ends.
I don't really want to handle tight ends. I'll think of something different to do. I think I have a couple games in mind that might be fun to play.
We can do defenses too.
I think the top three are going to be the same.
Alabama.
Yep, there you go.
Clemson.
If you don't get Alabama or Clemson, good luck.
Good luck.
Well, you guys already talked about it, just game by game basis.
Yep.
Stream it. Yep.
Who is UConn defense. Playing?
Pick up that defense. Well, unbeknownst to you guys, I did also grab an email for our podcast specifically.
Oh, cool.
So if
I already made one.
Did you? What is it?
The ptopodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, that's why it was taken. Okay.
Really?
That's what it is. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So what is it again, Bill, if people want to write in questions or interact with us in any way possible?
The ptopodcast@gmail.com.
T-H-E?
Yes, T-H-E. The.
So spell it out.
THEPTOPODCAST at, that's a A with a weird circle around it, Shift 2 on your keyboard, GMAIL dot, that's a period, lower right hand corner of your keyboard, COM. Or just ask Siri. She can do it too.
Oh, can she?
Do you think there's a podcast for like dedicated HR professionals about paid time off? A different PTO podcast.
There's a podcast for everything now. There probably really is.
Yeah.
An HR podcast.
You know.
Did you tell him what?
Yeah. Zach wants to do a podcast all about turf.
Oh, jeez. Well, yeah. He'd probably have better listenership than we would.
Grass talk.
Grass talk.
Grass talk with Zach.
A swift kick in the grass. Mark that one as explicit.
All right. Well, thank you very much, guys. We will see you all next week.